All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 6 as we continue our study on Wednesday nights on the major themes in the book of the Revelation. And just to refresh you and make sure that that you are up on where we are, we have the church age in chapter 2 and chapter 3. That's where we are right now. And I personally believe that we are in the Laodicea age of the church, the last of the seven churches. That is found in chapter 3, starting in verse 14 and going through the end of the chapter. And so when you get to the end of the church age, the next chapter, chapter 4, starts with John hearing a voice. There was a door that was opened in heaven, and he said the first voice that he heard was as of a trumpet, and it said, "Come up here." And I think that that this is a description of the rapture. This is John in his vision of in the Revelation, seeing the rapture of the church. The church was in chapter 2 and 3, the history of the church, and at the end of the church age is the rapture. And so John got up into heaven, and when he got up there, he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. And it was just amazing what he witnessed. He saw these beasts that were praising God, and these creatures that were crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come." And then in chapter 5, John saw this scroll. It was seven seals, but it was a scroll that you unfold. Back in Old Testament time, and he saw this angel flying around saying, "Who is worthy to open the book?" And John understood what that book was about. He understood that in that scroll was the rest of Revelation. It was what is recorded in the rest of the book. And that's why he wept, because he knew God wasn't finished yet. He knew the Lord wasn't done yet. But there was no man, chapter 5, verse 3, there was no man in heaven, there was no man in earth, neither under the earth that was worthy, that was able to open the book. And so John wept in verse 4. Because he thought, well, this is where it ends. We're just going to be here. We're just going to be here. Judgment is not going to come upon sinners. Judgment's not going to come upon the earth. And one of the elders said, "Oh, no, John, weep not. Weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." Now, that's when the Lord Jesus stepped out and took the scroll in his hand and declared that he showed that he was worthy. All right, so when that happened, the Lord opened the first seal. And when he opened that seal, what was in that seal is now contained in chapter 6. All right, that scroll is the title deed. It's the mortgage for creation. All right, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Psalm 19:1. Don't ever forget that. The earth is the Lord's. But now we know that Satan is the god of this world. And so what the Lord Jesus is going to do in the rest of the book is he's going to take back that which the devil stole from him. So he's got the deed, and he's going to make claim on the deed. Everybody understand that? I don't know how to make it any more clear. So I hope you got that. But that's what he's going to do. So he opens the seal. Chapter 6, it says in verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" All right, so one of the beasts that you read about in chapter 4, all right, one of these creatures that was in heaven and praising God, one of these creatures said to John, "Come here, you got to see this." All right, that's basically what he's saying. You don't want to miss this. Come here, you got to see this. Watch this. All right, and so come and see. And John said, "And I saw," and now he's going to start defining and telling us what he sees happen. All right, so look down for just a minute, and I'm not going to take the time tonight to read all this. I read it last week, but if you will look down at verse 15, as these seals are being opened on this scroll, all right, gets down to the sixth one in verse 12, and then in verse 15 it says, after 6 seals that are described here, so after the sixth one, it says in verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" Wow. Can you imagine? So in other words, when this scroll is opened, when the seals are broken, and the things that John describes here in this sixth chapter begin to unfold, by the time you get down to the sixth one, it has men on this earth literally terrified. And they know that what is happening is divine judgment. They know it's of God. They will have figured it out by then. That's scary stuff, isn't it? Well, that's what's coming. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And may the book of the Revelation just come alive to us. May we see these seals as they are opened, as each seal is broken, and the judgment that comes from the from the throne of God. Father, may we be able to see how all this could happen, how it could start tomorrow. So, Lord, I just pray that you will bless our study of your word tonight. Be with me and help me as I speak, and be with our folks and help them as they listen. And we'll give you praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want us to pick up where we left off last week. And we are looking at, in this sixth chapter, we are looking at the beginning of the tribulation period. Now, you remember that little 5R outline I gave you? Rapture, then ruin after the rapture, ruin the tribulation period, then return. That's when Christ comes back with the church, with his saints, comes back at his second coming. So rapture, ruin, 7 years long. Rapture, ruin, return, then reign, 1,000-year millennial reign, and then restoration, new heaven, new earth. All right, so rapture, Revelation chapter 4. Ruin, Revelation 6 through 18. And then return, Revelation 19. Then reign, Revelation 20. And restoration, new heaven, new earth, 21 and 22. All right, so that's the book of the Revelation. If you'll take that little 5R outline and remember it, when you read this book, you'll be able to see what's happening and see when it's going to happen. It just makes it so much easier to get if you keep that little 5R outline in mind. So we're looking here in chapter 6 at the beginning of the tribulation period. And we're looking specifically in this chapter at the scroll being opened and the sealed judgments being unleashed by the Lord. The Lamb of God, who was sitting on the throne, took the scroll with the seven seals and opened them. And that scroll contains what will happen upon this earth as God brings judgment and wrath upon this earth, the likes of which this world has not seen before. Now, last week, if you remember, and I want to review this for just a moment, but last week I taught you that there are a couple of key things that you need to keep in mind about these judgments. When you read about these individual seals that are opened, six of them in this chapter, and when you read about those seals being broken, there's just a couple of things you need to keep in mind about these judgments. First of all, they're not all unleashed at once. All right? It's not just like, boom, it all hits. But remember, the tribulation is 7 years in length. It is divided 3.5 by 3.5. And so these judgments, there are three sets. There's the seals, which we have here in the sixth chapter. Then there's the trumpets, and there's seven of them. And then there's the bowl or the vial judgments, and there's seven of them. So over time, these judgments are opened and unleashed upon mankind. So they're not all unleashed at once. It's like increasing the judgment and increasing the intensity so that men can never grow comfortable during the tribulation period. There will never be any ease during the tribulation period. It will just be one continuous thundering of God's wrath upon mankind all over the world. A second thing to consider is that once a judgment has been unleashed, in most cases, it continues to do whatever its intended purpose was for the entire rest of the tribulation. So in other words, when something happens, it doesn't just happen and boom, it disappears. No, the judgment just continues right along for the entire length of the tribulation period. Whatever its intended purpose was, it just continues to do what it was intended to do and bring judgment. So you have this building of intensity in God's wrath that is being poured out. Now, for instance, in chapter 6 and verse 2, we have the first seal opened, and it describes a man on a white horse who rides out. Now, I think that this is revealing the coming of the Antichrist. I think this is the introducing us to the Antichrist. And notice he comes right at the beginning of the 7 years. This is the first thing that happens. And he will stay on the scene throughout the entire tribulation period and will ultimately and finally meet his demise in chapter 19 and in verse 20 when the Lord returns. All right, but when he's introduced at the beginning, he stays on the scene. He does not appear and then boom, he vanishes and he's gone. No, he stays on the scene, bringing his devastation and doing what he does, what he's going to do the whole way through. Now, he will ultimately be destroyed when the Lord returns. But the point is, he stays on the scene. And many of these judgments, now remember, there's seven seals, there's seven trumpets, there's seven bowls. And with each one, as they unfold, they will continue to do whatever was their intended purpose, causing great sorrow and heartache upon the earth. And then a third thing we saw last week is that while John is telling us the story, he stops occasionally to interject what is called a parenthetical event. Now, meaning that as he is telling us what he sees when the seals are opened and when the trumpets are blasted and when the vials are poured out, he then will stop and he'll interject something else that is happening at the same time that these judgments are doing what their intent was when as God unleashes them. So there are parenthetical things. For example, in chapter 6 here, John is describing for us the first seals being opened, six of them. And then you'll notice, though, that there are seven seals, okay? But in chapter 6, we only have six of them defined. Do you see that? All right. And now look at chapter 8. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1. And when he had opened the what? Seventh. Okay. So there's the seventh seal. So we have in chapter 6, verse 12, we have the sixth seal. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, we have the seventh seal. So, what's chapter 7 about? Well, it's parenthetical. It's like John is telling the story. Watch me. John is telling the story, and then he goes, oh, wait a minute. Got to tell you one more thing. Parentheses. Let me tell you about these 144,000 witnesses. And so he tells us that in chapter 7. Then he closes the parentheses, picks right up where he left off over here, and says, chapter 8, verse 1, now here's the seventh seal. All right, but there's a parenthesis right here. And he's going to tell you something else. And he does that throughout this description of the tribulation period. Because there's a lot going on. I mean, while these seals are being broken, and then while the trumpets are being blasted, and while the vials are being poured out, and all this judgment and all this wrath is coming upon the earth, that's on God's end, but there's all this other stuff happening too. And he'll put a parenthesis in there, and he'll tell you about it. And I'll make sure I point those out as we go along. Everybody understand that now? So there's three things you got to look for. It's raining. Three things you got to look for. And those things are vital. They're important. It doesn't all happen at once. It's not all unleashed at once. Second, once it's unleashed, in most cases, it stays. It just keeps doing what it was intended to do throughout the whole time of the tribulation period. And then thirdly, there are some parentheses where John tells us about something else that is happening at the same time that he is describing the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. All right? Now, let's go to 6:1. Go to 6:1, and let's look at this first seal. In the first seal, we see a man riding upon a white horse. Now, as I said to you last week, I believe that this is the introduction to the Antichrist, who will come to deceive the world once the church is taken out of the way. You remember we went to 2 Thessalonians 2, and Paul said that that this man of sin, this Antichrist, will not come until the church is taken out. And when the church goes out, the Holy Spirit goes out, and there will be nothing to restrain or to hold back the devil, and it's just going to be a mess on this earth. So that's when the Antichrist will come. You look at your Bible, verse 2. He comes on a white horse, like the Savior of the world. We were talking at the house the old westerns and the good guys always wore the white hats and the bad guys always wore the black hats. You remember that? That's just the way it was. And so here is the white horse. So he comes like he's the Savior of the world, but he's not the Savior. He's not the Savior. He comes as Messiah, but he's not the Messiah. He is a false Messiah. He is the devil's counterfeit. And he will come and usher in a mock millennium. When he speaks a lie. And those who follow him and his lies are ultimately going to end up in the fires of an eternal hell. Now, what else is in store for the world once these seals are opened? Well, you've got this Antichrist that comes in verse 2. And then the world goes into complete chaos as the seals continue to open. The first seal, the beast, the Antichrist, the false Messiah. The second seal is open, and a second horseman comes out in verse 3 and 4. And you'll notice in verse 4 that when this seal is open, that peace is taken from the earth. Peace is taken from the earth. Now, let me tell you something, folks. The world tonight sits on the brink of World War III. I hope you realize just how bad things are. Most Americans have no idea how close our world is to complete explosion. Or I guess I should say implosion. Because you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I'm telling you, America, the American people have no idea what's going on in our world. Why? Well, because the liberal media has only one purpose today in America, and that is to make Obama and the Democrat Party look good. That's their only purpose. And we don't hear most of the news that is happening, because if we knew what was happening, we would have a poor perception of Obama and Hillary Clinton. And that's the last thing the media wants. And so we are watching Star Wars and downloading Adele and returning our two small clothing that we got for Christmas, because we're eating ourselves into cardiac arrest. And while all this is going on, the world's on fire. Seriously. While all this is going on, the world's on fire. Obama plays golf and is spending $500,000 a day while the world's on fire. And he holds news conferences in between tea times and trips to exercise at Navy bases when the cameras are on him. And he uses these news conferences to announce executive orders that are destroying the Constitution and destroying our country. But we don't know anything about that. Why? Because the media doesn't want you to know. Our borders are wide open, and jihadi soldiers are pouring into our country. Pouring, folks. They're not coming in dribbles. They're pouring into our country. They are pouring into our country. Erdogan of Turkey, the president of Turkey, or prime minister, or grand potentate, whatever he calls himself these days, but Erdogan of Turkey is declaring himself the grand potentate of the caliphate and the only one taking Erdogan seriously is Vladimir Putin. He's the only one. Obama's not taking him seriously. Obama's playing golf. He's not taking him seriously. Right now, hundreds of or thousands, tens of thousands of Russian soldiers are pouring into Turkey's eastern border with Russia. They're literally pouring soldiers and tanks and rockets to make sure that the extremists don't cross into Russia. Putin's the only one. Nobody else is taking him serious. But are we hearing any of this? Oh, no, no, no. We are bombarded with what Donald Trump said about Jeb Bush. That's all we hear. That's all we hear. What all we hear is what new Woman of the Year award old Bruce Jenner won, or whatever his name is. Her name is. Its name is. That's all we hear. Are we hearing any of this? No, we're not hearing any of this, but this is what's happening. Well, you say, well, Pastor, why aren't we hearing any of this? Have you heard that Clinton and Obama were arming ISIS? Have you heard that? No, you haven't heard that. No, that can't be. Oh, yes, it can be. If you remember, I pretty much hung myself out to dry that night, made a bunch of people mad. I'm going to make them mad again if they're listening, which they probably are, or they will be. And I told you, in my opinion, and I only said this because people in the know in the Kremlin were saying it, and the Jerusalem Post was writing about it, but they said that Hillary was running arms into Syria, giving it to ISIS. Hey, folks, look at me. Your congressman knows this, and they have known it. But have we heard anything about this? No, no, no. Why would, well, they don't want you to know this. You might get a negative opinion of Obama. And you just might get a negative opinion, and we can't have that. You might get a negative opinion of Hillary, and we can't have that. So the truth, oh, no, truth doesn't matter. What matters is running a front for the Democrats. And that's what the media is. Folks, listen. When this second horseman appears, look at your Bible. Verse 4, peace is taken from the earth. I've been saying since 1998, with the first attack on the World Trade Center by the blind sheikh and his band of merry Muslims, that we were in World War III, but nobody knew it yet. Well, we're here. And in the second seal, power was given to the rider of the red horse to take peace from the earth. And look at your Bible. There was given to him a great sword. A great sword. How ironic. Folks, that's what all of this Muslim migration is all about. The majority of the millions who have migrated to Europe are young, 25 to 35 year old men who are of military age. The ones fleeing are not Christians. The Christians are not welcome. They're not welcome in Europe and they're not welcome in America. The ones that are fleeing are Muslims. And the Obama administration will not let Christians who are being persecuted and murdered and raped and beheaded and put into slavery, they won't let them come to America. And they can't go to Europe either. The ones coming here are Muslims. That's right. They're Muslims. That means that they have been raised, trained, and educated in the mosques by imams who know Islam's end times prophecy, and they know about the coming Mahdi and how he will lead the Islamic caliphate to a worldwide jihad where the world is going to be captured for Allah. These men all know that. And I'm telling you that the devil is spreading out his holy war fighters right now all over the globe while we watch football, play with our iPhones, and sit at ease in Zion in our comfortable homes. That's right. So after the rapture of the church in chapter 4, with the church in heaven, chaos begins. And my point to you folks is that the stage is set. Should the rapture happen tonight, this whole chapter and what it describes could start tomorrow. It could start tomorrow. Peace taken from the earth. This golden-tongued, lying Antichrist will rise up in a day. They're calling for him to come now. Billions of Muslims calling for him to come now. And when he does, who do you think these millions that are in our country right now and these millions that are in England and France and Germany and Belgium and Sweden and Norway and Denmark, who do you think these millions are going to listen to? Obama and Kerry or Clinton or their Mahdi? They're going to listen to their caliphate leader. And it's not going to be pretty, folks. I'm telling you, the Middle East is a powder keg and it's ready to blow. I think we're close. Got to be close. Then look at the next verse, verse 5. Then the third seal is broken. And what follows here? Economic crash, economic disaster. The black horse comes with a third rider, and John saw the world's economy just come crashing down upon the world. And following the crash of the world's economy comes a pale horse. You see, it just like it was after the 1929 crash, the world is going to crash again. And when it does, there's going to be another Great Depression. Great Depression. Only problem this time is the whole world's going to be affected by this depression. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 6. It says, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And that is describing a crash. A crash. And your dollar's not going to be worth the paper it's written on. Well, not yours. You're going to be in heaven. But the unsaved's dollar. All right, then. Notice this pale horse. It says in verse 8, "Behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth." Wow. That sounds bad, doesn't it? A quarter of the earth's population? A quarter of the earth's population? That it's going to be chaos, folks. John said his name was Death, and then he said that hell followed him, and power was given to death and to hell to kill with the sword and with hunger and with pestilence and with the beast of the field. Can you just imagine, folks? Imagine when the economy crashes and your dollar doesn't have enough value to purchase a loaf of bread. It can't purchase anything to eat, and then starvation sets in and folks are dying and disease spreads and chaos ensues. And then there are forces beyond that which are not natural that are at work. I'm telling you, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a mess. I read a story a couple of weeks ago about how thousands, not a few, thousands of these ISIS fighters have a flesh-eating bacteria that is eating huge chunks out of their arms and legs. And there's nothing that works on it. There's not an antibiotic. There's not a cream. There's not a salve. Nothing works on it. And it's just eating big chunks out of them. And the English doctors and the Swedish doctors and the Norwegian doctors and the Belgium doctors, they're now seeing these immigrants come to their countries and come into their ERs, spreading this infection to their countries. Ain't that special? Hey, it's coming here. It'll be here. Just think of the devastation that all this judgment will bring. Are you beginning to see why this is called the tribulation period? It's going to be bad. But the good news is, as Christians, we get taken out of here before it hits this old unbelieving world. Then look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Here's the fifth seal. The fifth seal. Look at verse 9. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." And they, these souls that are under the altar, "and they," these souls, "cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them." Who's them? Under the souls under the altar. "And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." You say, all right, Pastor, what in the world is this talking about? All right, now follow me carefully. These jihadi soldiers that are now in Europe and America and Russia and China and all over the islands in Asia, and they're in Canada and they're in South America. They're all over the world now. They're going to all have the same mindset and practice the same theology that they're practicing today. You with me on that? Same ideology. Only they're going to be emboldened when the first seal is broken and their Mahdi shows up, their leader, their Messiah, called in the Quran the Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I. And so once the church is in heaven and once the Antichrist rises up and once the global jihad begins, they're going to have, they're scattered already all over the world, and they're going to have the same mindset then and practice the same theology then that they practice today. Now, what is that theology? Well, it's either convert or be beheaded. That's what they're doing today. This is not anything new. They're doing it now, and their Mahdi's not here yet. Now, don't forget, the church is in heaven. That was accomplished through the rapture at chapter 4, verse 1. And don't forget the parenthetical chapter 7. Because in chapter 7, God calls 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will go out into the world and preach the gospel, giving millions upon millions of people, maybe even billions of people, the opportunity to repent of their sin and to call upon the name of the Lord. And multitudes. John is going to say a little later on, a number which no man could number, a multitude are going to come to know Christ as their Savior during this ruin period. Okay? So, remember your three principles I gave you at the beginning. The rapture happens, and then boom, this Antichrist rises up. And he just keeps right on doing his thing all the way through the seven-year period. And as he does his thing, using lies and miracles and wonders and all this supernatural power that he has, he grows stronger with each passing day. The Muslims then grow bolder. And once they run into these new believers that are going to be led to Christ by the 144,000, they will start beheading all these new Christians. And when beheaded, their bodies stay on the earth, but their souls go to heaven. Where do our souls go when we die? To heaven. And so when they die, their souls will go to heaven. So here we are in verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. Here are the souls of all these tribulation saints who over a seven-year period, remember the three principles now, doesn't all happen at one time. It lasts the entire 7 years. That's why in verse 10, when they cry out, "How long, O Lord? Aren't you gonna do something about this?" Well, verse 11, white robes were given unto all them, and it was said of them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants on the earth also and their brethren that should be killed. So in other words, this is going to go on for 7 years, folks. And so Aren't you going to do something, Lord? Well, I am, but not right yet. You just sit patient. You know, here we are down here on the earth right now looking at this mess, and Lord, aren't you coming back? And he says, be patient. I'm coming. Be patient. So just as he's telling us to be patient now, he's telling these tribulation saints, you be patient. I am going to do something. All right? So verse 9 and 10 are the souls of all these tribulation saints who will be beheaded. And they are crying, how long before you go down there and smash these murdering thugs who have killed all of us? Folks, I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of beheading going on during the tribulation period. A lot of it. So throughout the tribulation period, souls will be gathered. Martyrs for the cause of Christ, probably in the millions, will be slaughtered by these pagan followers of the Antichrist. Turn over to chapter 20. Chapter 20. Watch, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones. Watch this now. John said, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were, what's the next word? Beheaded. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, very quickly, I got 4 minutes left. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Hold your place here in Revelation 20. All right, now look at me. Watch. Okay, rapture, we're in heaven. Ruin, tribulation starts. First seal broken. Here comes the Antichrist, the Mahdi. All right? The Muslim Messiah. And then it begins. It begins. And here comes 144,000. They're preaching the gospel all over the world. People that folks, listen, I have been to China. I've been there. Walked down the street, first day we were there, Glenn and I came out of a little shop, and there was a little kid about that big, just a little tiny kid, just about that big. And when that child looked at me, you could see the fear in her face. And she grabbed a hold of her mother, and her mother picked her up. And her mother was saying to her, smiling and saying something, and I have no idea what she is saying. I don't speak Mandarin. But evidently it was, it's okay, it's okay. And I said to that lady, did I scare her? She said, no English, no English, and pointed to herself, no English. And I said, I went like this, and she goes, no, 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 no. And then she said, and she muttered these words, never seen a white man. Never seen a white man. And I said, no TV? She said, no, no, no TV. Never seen white man. And about that time, the mother reached her hand out to shake hands with me, to show the little girl that it was okay. And I held my hand out, and that little girl touched my hand like this. And she turned around, big surprise in her eyes, and said something in Mandarin to her mother. And her mother said something to the effect that she thought you'd be scaly. She thought your skin would be hard. Hard, hard. That's what she said, hard skin, hard skin. And she wanted to look into my eyes. She had never seen blue eyes. Never seen blue eyes. She wanted to touch my hair. It was amazing. And so I asked her, "Do you know Jesus?" "Who?" "Jesus." "No." "You've never heard of Jesus?" "No." She did not know who Jesus was. And I said, "Jesus is God's son." She said, "Shanti?" I said, "No, Jehovah." "Don't know Jehovah." Folks, there are millions, billions on this planet who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And God, in His mercy and grace, is going to call 144,000 people to spread that gospel around the world. They are going to have the opportunity, the chance to hear it. And when they do get saved, a little bit later on, we're going to be introduced to the mark of the beast. And you'll either accept the Muslim way or you'll get beheaded. And when you get to the end, all right, rapture, ruin, return, that's where chapter 20 is, where these souls that were under the altar, these souls of this multitude that got beheaded during the tribulation period, and they're going to receive their glorified bodies just like we get ours back here at the rapture. All right? So this is where we get ours, then ruin, then this is where they get theirs, the 7 years. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm done. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. He said, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the," what's the next word? "First fruits of them that slept." All right, now watch. Watch. Here's where we get ours. Here's where we get ours. 2,000 years ago, that's when Christ got his. You with me? He died, he was buried, and then what? He resurrected from the grave. So he was the first fruits of the resurrection. The resurrection is portrayed in the Bible as a harvest. And you have the first fruits, then you have the main harvest. That's the rapture. That's when we get taken up. And all of us are going to receive our glorified bodies. And we shall see Him as He is. And we shall be like Him. That's when we get ours. So, first fruits. Remember when you were a kid and your dad planted several rows of green beans, and in July you went out there and picked those green beans, and then you got a big slab of ham and threw it on that pot, in that pot, and then your grandfather or your dad went over and took the potato vines and pushed them up and got those little new potatoes. All right, those little new potatoes, that's first fruits. The main potato crop is not dug until September, October. That's when you go get the big potatoes out. But you get the little first fruits so you can put them in those beans. Oh, you can't beat that. That's good eating. Right? So Christ, the first fruits, main harvest, the church, and then every harvest has gleanings in the law. In the law. God said, after you've harvested your crop, you back off. and you let the poor and the afflicted and the elderly come in and glean from your fields. That's what Boaz told his men. He said, look, throw handfuls on purpose. Handfuls on purpose. Leave it laying so Ruth can come and glean in the field after a while. Amen. So first fruits, main harvest, and then right here in Revelation 20 is your gleanings. And that's where all the tribulation saints get theirs. And folks, remember, numbers mean something. Remember that? Three is the number of, oh, you're getting so good. Three is the number of completion. And that's what verse 5 of chapter 20, Revelation's all about. This is the first resurrection. In other words, it's done. We've had the first fruits. We've had the main harvest. We've had the gleanings. Resurrection's over. It's done. It's complete. All right? Do you need a test? You got it? You all be able to teach a book of Revelation when we're done. All right, go back to 6. Go back to 6. Go back to 6. Look at verse 15 again. And the kings of the earth, the great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Folks, listen, it's whew. Right now we're seeing everything's just flipped upside down, isn't it? Weather's flipped upside down. Everything's flipped. The economy's upside down. The media's upside down. Washington, D.C. is upside down. Everything's a mess. Well, it's a mess for a reason. It's already in the book, and it's going to happen. If I were you, I'd be looking toward the eastern sky for that trumpet to sound. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. All right, we got to quit. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit.